Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, I'm Keith Ewan and this is the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today I'm joined by, Neil Hodgson and Julian Ryder at Mugello ahead of round six of the season. Hello boys, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? New signings. In the end, it all went just about how we were expecting.
Yeah, I don't want to just say, I told you so, but we did.
But
we all had agreed. We'd said, going through them, the Danny Pedrosa, let's go start on him. We'd sort of said from day one, Honda would be a fool to get rid of him. And the big question that we'd said in the hire cars on one of our 100th conversations about this one subject, if you get rid of Danny Pedrosa, who can do the same job as him or better?
For me, though, forget about that, Jules. If I can bring you into this, it's a situation where will Danny regret, if it was a possibility, will he regret it? I always thought Lorenzo will have regretted not going to Ducati. Could we say the same about the career of Danny?
Very good question. They're two very different characters. And Danny has been with Honda since he was 13 years old, effectively. It's some loyalty on both sides. From Honda, who think they're in a world championship, frankly. And from Danny himself. Looking at the people involved and the scene behind Danny, I would have been quite shocked if he'd gone. I wish he had done. I want to see him on a Yamaha.
I think that's three of us then, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish he'd gone.
And what an adversary he would have been with Valentino Rossi. Valentino Rossi would have had a major problem, I think, with Danny Pedrosa on a Yamaha. His style on that bike. What do you think, Neil?
Well, no. It's we'll never know, and that's the frustrating part. No, I know, obviously, I'm here to give an opinion. I don't know. I like Danny. I don't know. I think Valentino would have just had him round his little finger.
Danny Pedrosa is still one of the four fastest people on this earth.
Okay, on that note, let's move on, shall we? Because that's the note I wanted to finish on. I rate Danny quite highly as well.
No, so
and
do
you're
I.
Right. We're not going to see him on the Yamaha.
Which is a shame. We're agreed. Yeah.
Okay, next thing. How much did Lorenzo have in the second man signing at Ducati, do you think? How much influence did he have in that?
Plenty.
Well, according to him today in the press conference, zero.
He said that before.
I know. I'm only telling you what he said.
You should know better than listen to riders. How many times have I told you?
No.
Especially the one sat next to you. That's with a Y.
What's interesting is the fact that he said he didn't, but we'd heard off Davide Tardozzi, the team manager, 3 weeks ago back in Jerez, that it was
whatever he wants.
So what do you think about that? I mean, Dovi over Ian One. Ian One was clearly the man. I know he chucks it away a fair bit at the moment. He's blotted his copybook. Can you imagine how he must feel? That contract was on the table, all but signed. Now it's not.
It was due to be signed in Texas. It was picked up, ripped up and thrown away.
What about the Suzuki signing then for Ian One? I reckon that's
brilliant.
A good move.
Brilliant. Brilliant for Suzuki, and actually brilliant for Ian One, because he's an incredible rider. I was saying today, I can't think of who I was saying it to, but he's almost...
Age. Yourself?
Oh. All right, you two, don't pick on me because it's my first podcast. All right, just let me just ease me into it, please. What was I saying? No, yeah. I said, Ian One, he's almost an alien. He's not quite... Oh, I'll tell you, I was talking to Matt Oxley about it, and... No, it wasn't Matt Oxley, so I'm sorry. Oh, I've got
and we
fault.
Can't re-record these, you know.
No, this is live.
That's what's good about these podcasts. It was Matt Burt, actually. So, and Matt Burt came out with a point. He said, I see what you're saying, Neil. He's almost an alien. But if you think about this, in the last five races, he's crashed three times. And he said, in the last probably 40 races, Lorenzo's crashed three times. And yeah. that's the difference between an alien and a non-alien. Yes, and he's got the speed, but he isn't fully fledged
alien. Clearly, Argentina and other things, and some people will say France, showed us he is crucially lacking in clear thinking at the times when you need it.
Agreed. You can't disagree with that.
What about the man that he replaces then, Vinales? He had that kind of that moral attachment to Suzuki because they brought him on, and he's done very, very well on the MotoGP bike. But of course, the Yamaha contract was dangled in front of him. He couldn't go any other way.
He couldn't go anywhere. Everybody said it. And Suzuki said, yes, we had an option on him, but we're not going to exercise an option and keep a rider against his will. What's the point in that?
There is none. And quite often they don't, do they? Particularly Suzuki. A lot of rumours around Suzuki at the moment as well. This third bike syndrome, Julian, what you dug up this week?
Well, yeah, because I, if I could have a trumpet toot, I had a long chat with Iannone's manager in Le Mans. And we said on air, I think, that yeah, Iannone will be Suzuki. Or he's probably the only other offer he had on the table with a large paycheck. But the third Suzuki, for Lucio Cecchinello to run, he wants to get out of Hondas, wouldn't you?
Yes.
It's the worst bike on the grid at the moment.
For Johann Zarco to ride, paid for by Suzuki France. The question is, can Suzuki Japan run a third bike?
That was the next question I was about to ask you, and you almost answered it, because Suzuki is the smallest operation from an R&D department point of view, and bringing another third to the table is a big deal for a little company.
If somebody's signing the check, maybe it'll make life easier. The only time I can think of three Suzukis during Moto Grand Prix was when Ben Spies was run as a wild card at Indy. And they used the test team. Oh, and they were faster than the factory team, but I think we'll gloss over that.
Any other rumours around the paddock this week so far? We've got the Crutchlow syndrome. He was casting his net all over the place last time I looked. He'd got his name out trying to find himself another ride. You mentioned Lucio Cecchinello a moment ago, the man that he actually rides for right now. Of course, they all want a competitive motorbike, Lucio Cecchinello, purely and simply because he needs to bring in the sponsors. He needs to bring in the money.
If he gets a Suzuki, of course, there'll only be one of them. That'll be a one-rider team, not a two.
And that will be Johann Zarco. But it seems the feeling in the paddock is that Cal would probably stay there at Lucio's.
And what's your feeling?
I don't think he will. That's what people I'm talking to are saying that. I'm not. I'm just thinking on both sides, just speaking to Cal, I just know the way some of the things he's said. He's not out and out said anything, you know, like, oh, I'm definitely leaving. He would never talk like that. But he just said some things negative about the team a little bit. I think he's a bit sick of it, really. And I think on the other side, maybe they're a little bit frustrated. You know, four crashes in five races. Last year was a tough season, really. It didn't go according to plan. And this year was always, the second year on the Honda was hopefully going to be better, and it's obviously not been.
Well, he's had a lot of factory and satellite rides at the end of the day. What are his options? What would be his options, Julian, do you think?
I'm not altogether sure. And I'm with Neil, and it's my feeling is that he won't, you know, it'll be difficult for him to keep that ride. And if Suzuki France are waving a checkbook about.
Yeah. Well, he's openly said he doesn't want to go to World Superbikes. So
he will then.
well, yeah, you can't rule against that. But he's openly said that. So I don't think he'd want to embarrass himself by then going back on his word. But yeah, what are his other options? What do you think, Keith?
Bradley's set at KTM. Can't see him going alongside there as a Brit. We've got Sam Lowe's already signed on for Aprilia. So I can't see another Brit going in there at the moment. So I think, retirement is always an option, but one I hope we don't see with Cal. Even, you know, for the first time in a very difficult managerial position, isn't he? I mean, you're a manager. You know what it's like. I mean, around this paddock, it's so tight at the moment.
Well, sorry, you mentioned the word manager, and it's at this point in the season, well, was it 2 weeks ago, he's sort of part of companies from his management company. So he's essentially managing himself at this moment in time as well, in the most difficult point in his career. It's really difficult.
And now the major rides are all tied up. I mean, we're beginning a two-year cycle again now.
You're not even going on Pramac, are you? Because you can't see Redding. Redding has got a two-year contract.
With the factory.
With the factory, and Petrucci's going to go nowhere.
Absolutely not, no. They love him, and obviously his contract's, I think.
Which is why I mentioned the word retirement. But let's move on, shall we?
I can't imagine him retiring, though.
Neither can I, because he's too good.
The options are running out as we talk.
And that's what you tend to find at this time. Between now and Barcelona, everything's going to be shut down. This now is the all the main rides are now pretty much in place. Now we're going to see everybody filling in the gap.
It's the second string level of riders. I don't mean that disrespectful, but they're slotting into place quickly, aren't they?
What it means is the second KTM ride, the second Aprilia ride, suddenly become very, very attractive jobs.
Yeah.
all this, looking forward to 2017, of course, and we've actually got a championship going on at the moment that most people are ignoring this week, it would seem, and quite a lively one as well. How crucial, then, the 3 points that Marquez salvaged at Le Mans? How crucial are they, do you reckon, for the title?
Well, we all know, don't we, that by the end of the year they could be gold.
Yeah, we're going to say, yeah. I'll tell you what, those 3 points could be worth nearly £10 million. Almost. You know, if he wins the championship with bonuses and where it catapults him. So, yeah, it's hard to put a value on them. But
and we've seen championship, think Danny Kent last year. We know what 3 points can be worth when you get coming towards Valencia.
It's one of the closest championships for some years now, of course, the way it's going on. I mean, where do we see it flattening out? Where do we see any advantage going for any of the top men at the moment? Well, is there any at all this year?
No, well, I think this weekend, it's Lorenzo's favourite track. He won here last year comfortably. The same tyres are being used this weekend that were used in France, which he likes. The slightly softer construction, which gives him that little bit of side grip that we know suits his riding style. So I'm saying that Lorenzo's going to win. He's leading the championship, so he's going to win this weekend. You know, like, I think it's going to go back in his direction.
If you're a bookie, you're agreeing with Neil, obviously. I would say that this track, Barcelona, Assen, the three great classic tracks that we have coming up over the next month.
Front-endy style tracks, corner speed style tracks that suit Lorenzo. We saw him win these races last year. So I think what everyone's hoping, I'm saying, that probably the whole paddock is that Lorenzo does struggle in this round or the next.
Can I throw one name in?
Yeah.
I think Andrea Iannone.
Yeah.
Here.
225 mile an hour Ducati down this front straight.
He's going to have several points to prove, not least to his home crowd.
Honda all at sea here, we would imagine. Ducati, you've just brought us to it, really, Jules. I mean, Iannone with that point last year, second place, won he pole man last year.
First pole.
Yeah, of his career. And the highest he's finished is second place. And that was
his only second place.
So
second place, beat Rossi to second place as well.
He did indeed.
That, you know, in a fight.
Well, talk us through the characteristics then of Mugello, and we'll see if we can work from it backwards and see which teams, which riders it particularly is going to suit. We know Lorenzo's got a great record here.
Can I just say not a Honda?
I think.
Well, yeah, you need horsepower. You need braking stability. But the main thing about this track, it's all front-endy. You know, it's fast chicanes, but it's all about trusting the front on the way in. And that's probably what's going to be the mix. That's the great unknown that we're sitting here. We've no idea because of tyres. If the front tyre, if they just get it slightly wrong, we saw 8 crashes, was it, in Le Mans? And that weren't, it's not classed as an out-and-out front-end track.
Mind you, it was only 1 or 2 crashes more than the previous year.
Yeah, it is a bit of a crash fest there anyway, right the way through all the classes as well. It was a difficult surface. And of course, can I ask then, you know, it's obviously been chucking it down with rain on the pre-day, the Thursday, before this week's action. Track's going to be green as grass when they get out there this week.
It's going to be green, as in it's going to be slippery, there's going to be no rubber down at all, but the weather forecast looks fine for the 3 days. So I don't think that's going to play, it's not going to create any issues for anybody, as I see it anyway.
Talk about the atmosphere here then. We got away from the track, the side of the track. I mean, there is no place quite like Mugello, is there?
If we had a camera on us now, we're all smiling. We said in France, you know, 2 weeks ago, we said, I can't wait for Mugello, and we get here, the atmosphere, there is nothing like it. The place will be ram-packed. The only downside is we will have a very early start on Sunday morning because you do. Yeah, but if you time it slightly wrong, you're not getting in. You'll miss your chance to be working because you'll be, I mean, the queues are miles and miles long, aren't they? But what a place this is.
Well, they were at the hire car places. I mean, we've all come in on different planes, but I don't know about you, but mine are full of Brits coming to this race meeting. I'm sure yours were too.
Yeah, my flight in from Manchester on a Thursday morning, early Thursday morning, lots of people coming to the race.
I came in from London City. That one had a whole load of fans from England as well coming over.
Yeah, I flew from Heathrow and it was absolutely ram-packed. But that was yesterday. But there was loads of Brits. Now, it's a special place, isn't it? It's one of the best of the year, if not the... Yeah.
It's got to be on the bucket list.
Yeah. And then when you've done this, you save up and save up and save up and go to Phillip Island.
I know you're going to say that. It's true, though.
That is a bit of a save-up. Moto2. Let's move on to Moto2 then, shall we? Sam Lowe's championship lead, well, it lasted one round. Now he's got some work to do, hasn't he, here?
Last race, Le Mans, if you're a front-endy, you're in trouble. It was one for the guys who ride the back end of the bike hard.
Well, wasn't it more than that? Didn't we have a WP situation versus Ohlins? It was more than what you're talking about. It was a real suspension wars there.
It was.
Ohlins did not come out of it well, did they?
They lost in a major way. The people that were struggling were on Ohlins. That said, we've seen Ohlins be really strong at the other tracks. If you've got to think, these tracks now are these bikes are identical, aren't they? Obviously, we've got the same engines. Pretty much all the main men are on the same chassis, on the same tyres. But they're on different suspension.
And there's a difference.
And that was the issue. And the other people that were running, Sam Lowes is on Ohlins. The other people that were running Ohlins had nightmare weekends. Jonas Folger, who crashed, was it four times at least?
Ohlins and all front ends. So he really...
just signed that deal, came out for free practice one, looked like, oh, I'm really excited about the whole weekend now. I've signed my MotoGP deal with Tech 3 and now I'm going to go and blast them all in my... And looked like he was going to at one point. And then all of a sudden it went wrong, and again
in the race. Yeah. It was a disappointing weekend for him.
I thought Sam had the sort of ride under difficult, to put it mildly, mild circumstances, the sort of ride that wins you a world title.
Couldn't agree more. I said to him, because I was with him this week in the Isle of Man, I'm like, they are the rides that make the difference. Yeah. That's a class ride. And he's looking at me because he still don't get it, Sam. He's still sort of annoyed because he's finished sixth. He's almost embarrassed he's let everyone down. But I'm like, mate, honestly, that was a class ride.
Look at Jonas Folger. Look at Johan Zarco.
Yeah.
Genuine title contenders or men who can mess your title about. They had a much, much
maybe
worse.
Maybe it's going to be about spoilers. At the moment, Rins is the man. He's always going to be the man that you've got to be watching anyway.
The championship.
Indeed. And the fact is that he's the man that you're going to be watching for. The others may well make great spoilers.
Yes.
My gut feeling with Rins is he's been in this situation many times before, but when it gets to the point, you know, the last two or three rounds, when the maximum pressure's there, he's always made mistakes. So I know that's a little bit...
We used to say that about Zarco, and look what happened last year.
Yeah, true. And I know that's... Yeah, of course I'm biased because I want Sam Lowes to win the World Championship, and that's a little bit of me hoping that he doesn't now go on a run and win, like, the next six races.
Lowes versus Rins is a fight I'll buy a ticket for.
Yeah. Two total different riding styles, two total different characters, but we need them to meet on the track, actually, because they've not really slung it out yet this season. Do you know what I mean? We've not seen them have a scrap yet.
Yeah.
Well, we know he'd win the scrap.
Yeah, you remember turn one here last year, Sam and Corsi.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Whoops.
They got a bit tangled, didn't
they? Yeah,
anyway.
that was Sam's fault, but he was completely blaming Corsi, remember?
I do.
But on the grounds it was Corsi, nobody had a word with him.
Moto 3, back-to-back wins for Brad Binder at last. He should have won Qatar. He got dragged to the line, of course, but he's undone that logjam, hasn't he?
He's now looking like the class above anybody else in that field. And if he gets a run going, it's going to be... Remember when Marc Márquez had his first Moto3 win? He put together five on the bounce. Márquez's first win was here, actually, at Mugello, I think, am I right in saying. And I think I can see Binder going on that sort of run.
And he's one of them lads from one of them families that he's the right man, right kid, right time. Seems to really look like a world champion elect.
Yeah, the only piece of the jigsaw that was missing is can he win a race? And once he's done that, which he did, you know, it's... and it's just, we talk about it, the psychology of racing, so many times people must think, oh, they're repeating themselves again. We say, what a difference. When you get that first win, that inner, whatever it is, that chemical change in your brain, that inner belief. And so, what was it? It was something like 80-odd Grand Prix, he'd never won a race. He wins his first race in Jerez. 2 weeks later, second race. Easily.
Different people react to different things, and certainly Brad Binder has made that a real positive. Well, lots to look forward to this weekend for sure. Cheers, lads. Thanks very much for that. Be sure to download our review podcast following the race here in Mugello. And remember, you can watch every session live this weekend on BT Sport 2. Bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.